we're picking up in Orchis Chaim LaRosh. I think all of us are involved. Al Tipori Mehagoyas Chachma Musar, Tisabek Bafar Ragway Chachom and Behis Chachom. Do not in any way separate yourself from thinking about Chachma Musar. So they quote over here from the Ram Yafin, that was Rav Yozel's, the Altiv of Navardik's son-in-law, who took over Navardik after Rav Yozel was Nifter, that he said that the goal in life is, the goal in life is, the correct attitude towards Chochmah is the same way that we never stop breathing. We always have a desire to make sure that we have enough food. We should have that same level of desire for Chochmah. Rashiva used to when I went to Telz, there was no off Shabbos during the winter. You would come Sukkot and you stay till Pesach, and 6 month winter, 6 month winter. So, and that was like eventually, as the generations, other Shivas start giving like off Shabbos, the parents wanted the kids home. The kids didn't need a break, etc. So they convinced the gift that then Hola decided they're going to give an off Shabbos in all the winter. So the gift, there was one member of then Hola, they voted, they overrode his decision, and he didn't want an off Shabbos. The next Musar Shul was in Yeshiva was about off Shabbos. Says, so to breathe in Yiddish is Otim, the Otim. So it says they want off from Otimin. They want off from breathing. So we take a break from breathing. What does it mean? You take a break from breathing. There's an off from Otimin. And that basically was the shmooze. Basically was a half an hour of that very simple. That he was so oismensch. He wasn't, you know, the decision. But he couldn't absorb it. That this is what we're doing. He just couldn't live with it. So that was a gift. So that's a goal. But the Gemara says a true Talmud Chacham that there's not a moment when his mind is not thinking in Torah. So, which is why I get very upset people who call me Talmud Chacham, because the Gemara says the Farish that I'm not. So, but at least to know that such a thing exists. I just said over recently that if you look at the Mesil Shorim, Mesil Shorim divides the Sefer into two parts. Right? You're familiar with that, right? There's the Tzaddik and there's the Chosid. So through Perkei Beis is the Tzaddik. Tzaddik means right, righteous, means does the right thing. And the Chosid is a person does beyond. So until Yeshiva used to always say that the Musar Seder is Mesil Shorim. When you learn Musar Seder, you have to learn Mesil Shorim. Whatever you do, you want to learn all the Seder, that's fine, not through Musar Seder. Musar Seder is bona fide Musar Seder, which I'm not sure any of you have ever seen. Right? The bona fide Musar Seder was the following. Mesil Shorim to recognize the fact that the true motivations of people, why they do things, are rooted in the person's subconscious. And the question is, subconscious and not conscious, how do you change the subconscious? So one of the ways you change the subconscious is if you take something and you repeat it hundreds of times with music, with a song to it, that starts seeping into the subconscious. So he had this idea of subconscious before Freud, based on Chazal. So the idea of Moshe Zander was you would learn a piece, and then you would take something which you felt spoke to you, so you had a connection to it, and then repeat it with a niggun again and again and again and again and again and again. You know, you could. The average human being speaks, they say about 3 words a second. Shiva can speak about like 7 words a second. So like, you know, in a half an hour Musar Seder, you can repeat that kata hundreds of times. And if you feel you still have a connection to it, do it again the next day. And eventually it starts seeping in. So Shiva said, Musar Seder was Mesilas Yesharim. You want to learn Al-Ishur, you want to learn whatever you want to learn, not during Musar Seder. So Mesilas Yesharim is not an easy Seder to get a flavor in. But I learned Mesilas Yesharim during Musar Seder over 10 years. It probably took me about 5 years to get a flavor in the Mesilas Yesharim, to get a geshmak in. It's a very hard Sefer. But I would always stop at Perek Yud-Bet and start over again. Because if I haven't got the tzaddik part down, I'm not ready to go to the chassid part. So one of our band with them said, you need to know what the chassidus is. You're not there yet, fine. But you need to at least learn it a few times to know what chassidus is. So I learned it through a few times to the end, and then I went back to Perek Yud-Bet to Perek Yud-Bet. Because, like, who am I fooling? I haven't got any of it down pat, so why am I going right to it? But to know that it exists is important. To know that there are people that push it, that their mind is never letting go of the thought process of thinking of Torah, of Chochmah. That they're never letting go of Musar, right? That they're constantly thinking about it. Al Tibor Megoyes Chochmah Musar is. If you will lower yourself, you'll put yourself in the dirt in front of the Chachamim, you'll learn. So Rav Volbl writes a fascinating thing. And now the Shulchan Aruch basically has a parak on Gaiva. So he points out that, first of all, Chachamim should not work on Gaiva. Chachamim should not work on Gaiva. They need Gaiva. Gaiva is what motivates you to believe that you can become something. So you need to have guidance. That's the real most support. Right? But obviously, Gaiva is horrible. So you need to have an Ivis. She says, don't work on Gaiva, but there's three things which will give you an Ivis naturally. Number one is davening. The person who davens, truly davens, recognizes that he is a creation in the hands of his creator and he has no power of his own. That's extremely humbling. The second one is learning with the Harusa. So Yisrael Slater writes in a letter that learning the Harusa means that you have each person thinks differently. So you have your Pshat and Gemara, his Pshat and Gemara. You have to fight with tooth and nail to figure out why your Pshat should be right. Now, my Rebbe told me this idea of that you have here's the argument of Pshat and Gemara, this repeating the same thing over and over again. That's ridiculous. You know, been there, done that, right? Why are we repeating the same arguments again and again and again? Okay. Right. The goal of arguing and learning is I got to the point where you understand clearly my position, I understand clearly your position, and we go right through. I don't have to convince you. There's no din I have to convince you. It's not fair to anywhere in halacha that you have to convince the other person. But that doesn't mean that you can't think about new arguments. You know, I think the pshat more like this, you think more like that. Well, so your pshat is wrong, because if so, that's a shirir. Oh, that's a good point. So the person's come back, well, but I'll answer it by this. Okay, well, that's true, then what about this? You know, like, that's not a rabbi. The more you do that, the more you're really clarifying the subject. Okay, you've been arguing for a half an hour, an hour, you realize your chavrusa is right. And you were wrong. What do you say? Baruch Hashem, thank you for giving me the right shot. I'm so happy. Right? That's what we all say. Or do you say, I hear. You know, I can't get out of my mouth the words, you're right. That's like, you know, Pasha, that's too painful. Because I put my ego into the last hour's worth of fighting. I can say, I hear. I hear means I surrender, but I don't want to admit it. You know, say you are right. Thank you very much. That's the second thing that a person who works on is Anivus. Just automatic. That's it. The goal is not me or not you. It's about Torah. We got the Amos of Torah. Gevaldik. The third one is Shimon Tzvi Shalchomer. when you spend time with Chachamim, you realize how small you are. Like, I was like, Baruch Hashem, to be Mishamash Rabbeim, be with them. And, you know, there's like these little moments where you realize you get the glimpse into a world of how distant you are from them. And it really puts you in their place. Somebody went to me and asked me, I was about, you know, I was in Tel's a lot of years. I was at least 35. Somebody asked, like, when are you going to leave her at? My mother asked me that about every week, but okay, that's not the issue. But, you know, I said, I'll tell you. So people look at me like I'm a Tamachokim, etc. They're going to ask me, you know, this happened. What do you think the Torah's take on the situation is? And I'll say my opinion. Then I'll go here, Shmuz or Shashiva, and the Shiva will say a totally different opinion, a totally different angle. As long as that's still happening, I don't want to leave. To me, there's perspective that I don't have on my own, I need to get. And Baruch Hashem, that happened. Eventually, my Rebbe kicked me out of Yeshiva, so, like, you know, everybody gets kicked out of Yeshiva different ways, you know. This guy's caught smoking, I got kicked out because I got kicked out, you know. Take him too much space on the bench, right? He says, time to move on. But you sat near these people and you realize like that they see the world differently than you. They approach, and each one of our band was different. Baruch Hashem, we had many different band. It was a tremendous, it's like a smorgasbord of different things you could see, but it put you in your place. So your misabak means you're lowering yourself in front of them. You're like the dust in front of them. So if you're willing to lower yourself, as opposed to, like, somebody asked me, like, you know, I had a conversation with the Baal HaBos. He says, you know, the Rav of my shul, he's really not a Moritz. The Rav of shul is a Talmud Chacham Mufid. She's always nice to, like, see Baal HaBos in perspective. I said, why do you say that? Well, he benched Rishon Shuddos, he didn't say Rishon Sakahana. Like, I already know he didn't say Rishon Sakahana. So, like, he says, why don't you ask him? I said, I don't want to insult him. Like, embarrass him. I says, no, you should ask him. Maybe you'll learn something. I'm referring to the Zigmar Megillah. The Zigmar Megillah says, "Talmud Chacham, we ask Rishus from the Kayan, who's not a Talmud Chacham. He's been involved in the Torah, and it's also to do that. Talmud Chacham is not allowed to ask Rishus from the Kayan. So maybe you'll learn something." I didn't tell him that. I said, you know, it's a good one. You know, ask the Rav, and they'll see. Maybe, you know, maybe the pshat is that he actually is right, and you're actually wrong. Maybe there's more to Torah than you know. No, come on. You know, everybody knows if that's Rishus HaKahan. I don't want to embarrass him. He was like, like, this thought process, I got it right, he got it wrong. Like, as opposed to, and there's a Gemara in Ksuvah, also Gemara in Ksuvah. You're learning Ksuvah in the second paragraph. You know, the Gemara, the other one skips to Yud Ches, because that's what the bigger story says. There's a Gemara in Yezayin. The Gemara says a wild story about one of the Amoraim who was by a Chasna, and he put the cowl on his shoulders. So the Tinnim asked him, can we also do that? He says, if it feels to you like a piece of wood, you can do that. Imagine that happened nowadays. What would happen? We wouldn't say, "Ah, oh, Rebbe, can I do it too?" We say, "Ah, it's a raya. He's and probably isn't, isn't it?" And we make it all over the papers, right? Like, maybe he knows something you don't know. That's not a giant. It's just not a giant. Like that thought process. So you have to misabik. You're not going to learn from them if you're not misabik. If you're not lowering yourself in front of them, you're willing to roll in the dirt in front of them. If that's, then you're not going to learn from them. You'll be judging them. And if you do this, you'll be able to learn from them. Otherwise not. Okay.